Today's scripture reading is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What's this wisdom that has been given him, that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions: take nothing for the journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them.
All right. As I was saying, this scripture is really pretty straightforward, but the applications is where I want us to center on today, because I feel like this scripture really helps us to think about how we welcome Jesus. He went to his hometown. When you go back home, aren't you excited to go back home? How many of you love to go back home when you've been somewhere? I really enjoy that, okay? And there's something about being home that's just wonderful. But I want us to think about the fact that here Jesus had grown up among these people, and our scripture starts with, they were wondering, where did he get all this wisdom? We saw this boy grow up. How could he have transformed into this? Well, they weren't there at the baptism. They weren't there to see that the Holy Spirit had taken up his residence in power. That it was no longer just Jesus the boy that grew up. But you see, I think this is one of the things that we need to catch. Many of us put God in a box. We expect him to work in a certain way. And usually that's the way we grew up. It seems that for most of us, it's very hard to step out of that box. I remember in the 1970s when our churches started singing some of the praise songs, and churches divided. They wouldn't go to church if they sang the praise songs. It was a horrible thing. Why? Because they expected God to fit in this box. This is the way we have always done it. This is the way we're going to do it until we die. And guys, if we have that attitude, we're going to miss out on a lot of what God wants for us. Now, there's all kinds of reasons that we don't welcome God, and we're going to talk about a few of those. The first one is, it's inconvenient. Now, I've asked Susie to share a little bit of an experience she had. And so, did we lose her?
No.
Oh, where are you?
So I don't, you know, I'd love to say I shared a good experience. But so I've been really praying for years. I really wanted to get some of the really nifty gifts. And one of them, Becky's always doing the word of knowledge, and I thought, how cool would that be? I would love to do that. Well, God's been giving me a couple of times. So a couple of weeks ago, I told you I had this pain in my ankle, right? Well, about a week later, on my other side, on my foot, my left foot was just throbbing. In the middle of the night, it woke me up from a sound sleep, and it was just throbbing. I think it was the week when Pastor Robert broke his foot, and it was to pray for him. But my first thought was, oh, how inconvenient. It's 3 a.m. I'm supposed to be sleeping. I would rather be sleeping than this. What do I have to get up out of bed and from a sound sleep and go pray for this person? And so that's when Robert said, wanted to share that, because I did end up praying and it went away. It was a word, and I found out later Robert had it, and he probably was throbbing foot in the middle of the night. But for me, I thought, I don't want to wake up in the, I don't want to sleep. This is my sleeping time.
Thank you.
Amen.
It's so interesting, because just within the last probably 10 years, I have become to recognize that words of knowledge, when I thought of that term, I immediately thought, okay, God's going to give me a message and I'm going to speak it forth. Words of knowledge do happen that way, but that's not the only way they happen. And so we had had a group come and share with us that it can be when we get a pain and we just don't know why. We don't normally, there's no reason for it, and we just know that something's wrong. And then God will put us in touch with someone who has that. And it's His word to say, I want to heal that. I want that to be taken care of. Pastor Glenn, can I put you on the spot? Because I know he's had some words of knowledge. Can you tell, just shortly, share how you came to experience them and how you felt when you were first trying to put them into use, putting him right on the spot. This is my good friend, Pastor Glenn Graham. He speaks for us when I'm gone, and he and I are going to Global Awakening in August, as well as his son-in-law, Kurt. So we're excited. I'm sorry to put you on the spot, but you're here.
Well, I get it the same way. Sometimes I hear a word of knowledge, or the Lord will just put a word on my, I just hear it, you know, not really audibly, but it just, you hear it in your head, and it's like, somebody will come along, and I'll know that that word is just for them. I just know it. You get to practicing after a while, and you say, you know what? I think this. Until I know the throat for words of knowledge, I say, you know what? I just feel like I'd like to just pray for you, and this is the word that comes to mind. Usually, I can tell by the look on their face that it's him, because usually they just have this look of, how do you know that? And they just, you know, crumple, and then you know that the Lord's there in your presence, and. I get them physically, too, as Pastor Robert says. Your knee or your ankle or some pain will start to hurt, and usually the Lord will put somebody there in the next half hour or so that they'll always say, oh, my elbows are hurting, and I'll just say, can I pray for you? And they'll say, why? I says, well, the Lord wants to heal you. And, you know, and He almost always does. There's no coincidences. If He gives me that pain and somebody comes up and says they got a pain there, that's a God thing. That's not a coincidence. He just always honors His word. So those are two examples. And you just grow in confidence because you see God do it so many times. It's like, you know, it's like what Susie says. It's inconvenient. You get those times, it's like, really? I just want to rest. And, you know, or I just want to do this. I want to focus on this. And God says, nope, you're mine for whatever period of time until you do it, and then God bless you.
For those of you that weren't here last week, I want you to know that we also had another word of knowledge. I'm not sure we called it that last week, but last week, as we were here, Brother David here was just burdened for the little girl whose family had been shot there, and he just saw her filled with hate. And the Lord had told him, he really hadn't thought it through as he's sharing, I just see her with this horrible hate in her. And I feel like it was the Lord just laying on him that he had to intercede for her, to pray that Satan would not get the victory. And so that was a word of knowledge, David. You may not have known what it was, but you had a vision. You could just see and sense the fact that she was struggling. And who wouldn't to see your family killed? But God can turn around and make it a victory. And I believe that your prayers and others that He laid it on their hearts will bring victory to that little child. So, you know, inconvenience. Traditions. Traditions are fine. I'm not saying let's change everything. I'm not one to change things just for the fun of it. Okay? I like traditions. I have traditions in my home. But I want us to remember that they can be limiting. Sometimes we need to say, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Jesus looked around there in his home. And Lana, I need your tea, please. Well, I can have... No, I need it, your tea, please. My mouth is just so dry today. All right, I'm sorry. Where was I? Pastor stops in the middle of his sermon. We need to stop and say, Lord, I'm open to what you want for me. I'm willing to go where you want me to go. There are so many stories in the Bible that Jesus sent Philip. You remember? He was supposed to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. He didn't know who he was going to meet. He just knew he had to go there. So guys, we need to remember that when we hear a strong feeling, an urge to do something, say, Lord, is that you? And we need to go ahead with it. Unbelief. Sometimes we just can't believe that God would use us. Sometimes we just can't believe that a miracle is supposed to happen. When Darwin and Becky and Judith and Joel went to India, each one of them saw miracles done as they laid hands upon people and prayed. And I think, Kim, when you went to Kenya, because the people were expecting God to do these things. We in America have stepped back from believing that God wants to do what he did in the Bible. The scripture says that he didn't change. Miracles are for today, not just for yesterday. Don't let us be like the people of Nazareth who sat there and said, isn't this that little boy that grew up here? And guys, I have to tell you, sometimes I catch myself doing that. For example, one of the people that is now a leader in our denomination, I saw him grow up. I had him in church camp. And I look at John Pethel and I say, can that be the same little boy? But you know what? It's not the same little boy. Because the Holy Spirit has taken up a dwelling place in him and leading him and equipping him. So let's remember, we don't have to be the same person we were yesterday. We can receive that same change, that same infilling of the Holy Spirit. What it takes is an open and willing heart. And that's all it took for Jesus to come into our life. So if we have an open and willing heart and say, Lord, use me however, I will be glad to be used. And I can sing new songs. I can experience new things. And I have to tell you, first time I went to Global Awakening, I sat there and looked at what seemed to me as total chaos. People were running down the aisles with flags. They're singing at the top of their lungs. They're dancing with joy unto the Lord. And I'm going, I've never been in a place like this. And, well, not that first time, I'll tell you. I sat there and I said, Lord Jesus, help me to see you in all this. Help me to see you, because this isn't what I'm used to. Well, you know what? I went back to Global Awakening. And now when I see what I thought was chaos, I see the glory of God. I see people being touched by Him and responding to Him and openly, physically. And think about King David. His wife hated it that he would dance before the people without his cloak on. You know, how could he do that? And yet King David is one of the people we remember as one of the highlights of Israel. Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. So guys, let's today take that up as our challenge. Let us be people after God's own heart. Let us be willing to respond when we get those urges. And they may be strange urges. Bake a dozen cookies and take them to someone. Just do it. You don't have to know why. Maybe that person just needs someone to let them know that they care about them, that they're not alone. We don't know the reasons. God doesn't necessarily reveal to us why. Many times afterwards, we do find out, oh, if you hadn't come, I was wanting to commit suicide. Or if you hadn't come, I just was so lonely. There are so many things that God wants to use His people. So people, let's welcome Jesus in. And then let's do His work and welcome others into the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we do ask that You would just continue to fill us and lead us so that we do truly trust You and walk the path You want us to walk, reaching out in that love that You have for this world. Father, this is the time that we need to ask for Your kingdom to come to America. Lord, we pray for Your kingdom to come. We pray that You will put godly people in. Lord, we see what ungodly people as leaders will do. And Father, we know that You've put them there for a purpose. But Lord, we cry out. We cry out, please, Lord, change the heart of America. Change the heart of America, Lord. As we celebrate our freedom, I thank You that we can be here today because we are free. But Lord, we are choosing more and more that is ungodly as a nation. So, Father, we ask for Your forgiveness and we pray for our leaders. We ask, Lord, that You will rise up mighty men who will stand in the breach, Lord, and bring back Your kingdom to our country. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.